welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, March 3rd, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Or if anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. You can click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. You can also support us by purchasing the books, The Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law. You can find them on the right-hand side of our website. Also, join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. You can find that on our front page or, again, on the right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in our scripture reading. It's the last chapter of Galatians, chapter 6, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Okay.
The end of the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians.
Okay. Jan, do we have any questions tonight?
Yes, we have a great number of questions tonight, John. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. If we read, and this one's going to be long. If we read our Constitution in light of the aforesaid Jefferson instructions, we have its proper understanding. Additionally, all prohibitions made by the Bill of Rights in Article 1, Section 9 are written to secure our unalienable rights. And since our unalienable rights are gifted and non-negotiable, they can never be altered by amendment. Additionally, the reader should keep in mind the Constitution divides powers between Congress, executive, judiciary, states, and people. Any amendments that would disturb or destroy that delicate balance of power is null and void, such as the 14th, 16th, 17th, and 18th Amendments. Therefore, any such amendments will be held in contempt and nullified hereon. Question. With the above text in mind, how do we abolish the statutes that unconstitutionally take away the rights of people that have been convicted of a felony? these statutes have racist roots. Democrats wanted to limit the influence of black Americans. They also wanted to limit their ability to defend themselves. And because they are the major criminal offenders, they set forth to remove their rights to vote and the right to own or possess a firearm. They would have people believe it is for safety purposes. However, the majority of felony convictions are for nonviolent offenses. After someone has paid their dues, often for violating statutes that are void because they are repugnant to the Constitution, and they are no longer incarcerated or on probation, then they are no longer felons. They are just people, period. We ask people coming out of incarceration to become contributing, law-abiding members of the community. However, thanks to these unjust laws, the government keeps people labeled. They are made to feel like they have no voice in political matters or community choices. How do we abolish these laws that even stain some of the states' constitutions, states that were the last to be established? We see the bar's influence creeping into the legislative process. In the light of the people, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period. There is no qualification that says unless they have ever been convicted, da-da-da, or unless they are charged with da-da-da-da. What needs to be done?
Well, look, at the solution to this whole thing is education. That is the key. That is the solution. Of course, there's a lot of work to be done. We do work with the Republic Review, which we created a page for Republic Review, which is that's their focus. GR leads that, and he is organizing many states. I don't know where exactly he's at right now. Matter of fact, we should probably give him a call and ask him to come on and give us sort of an update on where he's at and what he's doing. But anyway, he's been working with states in order to get them to work towards what he calls the Republic Review. And the Republic Review is to really go back and take a look at the Constitution and all of the activities of our federal government particularly, and to bring them back under the Constitution itself, and to remove any and all legislation that is repugnant to the Constitution. And of course, anything that puts people under civil law is repugnant to the Constitution. But also, the key thing is, in order to really have government by consent and maintain our government by consent, the people have to become educated. Therein is the purpose of National Liberty Alliance. We are trying to connect with as many groups of people that also are working towards the same goal, and different groups are doing different things. Matter of fact, we'll probably have a meeting coming up soon with a few different groups that we're going to talk to see how we can work together better and also look for others. But going back to it, I don't know if anybody's seen X-22 report today. It was really powerful. And he had Trump, I guess he was speaking at CPAC. I don't know if anybody has, any people have seen that particular speech on him, but I did see parts of it through X-22 today. And very powerful. He's coming back, and he's pretty well putting it on the line. He's going to fix this problem. He talked directly about this problem. So anybody who hasn't seen that, you can find X-22. We do have some information on them. But first, before we do take a look at that, Republic Review, you can come under Start a Committee of Safety. We put it there because we want the people who are creating committees of safety to be aware of the Republic Review and to support it. And you can watch these videos. These are pretty short videos. They're right to the point, and it lays out exactly what it is that they're doing. And he's also got a bullet points that he shared with us, and we posted that on the page also. So people can look into that and see where that is going, and also, connect with GR if you would like, and work with him on this issue. But everybody should be working with him on this issue from their own states. Once the committees of safety are really energized and moving in various states, they should start working on trying to connect their state representatives with GR, and of course they should connect with GR in order to see how that might be done. But we'll invite GR in again to give us an update on where he's at, and you know, sort of a preview of what exactly he's doing. So that's really the solution. But beyond that, even with what GR is doing, if the people don't become educated, it's just not going to hold. You know, the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? The Bible teaches us that. We have to restrain. And so, you know, it's whatever is going on right now, evil will always be in the world, and it'll always rise to the top, and it'll always seize whatever it can seize control of. And so unless we, the people, protect it by exercising our right of government by consent at the grassroots level, and that is done by creating committees of safety and doing it, taking control of all of our local government, taking control of the schools, to bring the school boards under control, to teach our children civics, the Constitution, common law, how to access the courts, many things that our children are not learning, who our founding fathers were. You know, our heritage is in the law. If you don't know the law, you can't really know your heritage. And if you don't know your heritage, you can't defend it. You can't protect it. And so we have to know the common law. We have to know our Constitution. We have to know who our founding fathers were. We have to know who we are. And matter of fact, that is one of the main reasons I wanted to get this course going that we do have going on law, to teach people access to the courts and a proper mindset on controlling your government, controlling the court system, controlling the people that we put into power. And again, you know, all politics or political processes starts locally. We don't get involved in the politicking, but we do get involved with the political process, and we have to control that, and that's all done locally. We all have to participate in that. All right, next question.
Okay, this is about a student loan that's going into litigation, I guess, and it says, Navient has threatened to send me to litigation. I have read the straw man's book and sent a validation letter to them. Needless to say, Navient didn't send me the documents registered mail, and when received regular first class mail, they didn't send all documents requested. They sent the note with my signature and the financial breakdown. With that, they messed up my credit score. So my question is, who can I talk to about what to do next, or is it too late?
Yeah, can you just read the very first part of that? Who was he talking about? I missed that.
Apparently this is a student loan that's being turned over for payment.
Yeah. Okay.
And the outfit that's handling it is Navient, N-A-V-I-E-N-T.
All right, well, I don't know the specifics, and you know, any case you'd want to bring before a court, you're going to want to make sure you bring in a just position in. So, and I don't know the details, but the solution again is knowing the law. It brings us right back to what I had mentioned just a short while ago. If we don't know the law, we can't know our heritage, you know. And you know, our inheritance is liberty. That's what our inheritance is. But we have to know our heritage in order to defend liberty, in order to protect liberty. The Constitution is there to protect it, but the Constitution can't protect itself. We, the people, have to protect it, and that's where we hold the government's feet to the fire, at the grassroots level, through our committees of safety, working together, and you know, going and taking our schools back and every school from, you know, grammar school all the way up into the college within our counties, and taking back all of our local governments within our counties and connecting with the sheriff and getting the sheriff to recognize what we're doing and how important it is and how he needs to participate with us and connect with us. And if the sheriff can't see that, once we establish ourselves within our counties, then it's time to get rid of the sheriff. It's time to get a new sheriff in town. That could be done by recall. We're teaching that also. Recall is one of the most powerful things that we the people have. We can recall anyone out of office at any time. And also there's the grand jury that we're working with, bringing back the common law grand juries within all of our counties. And again, that power of removing people from office, if they're breaking the law, could be done through indictment. So those are the two major strongholds. That's the two controlling factors to be able to control our government. The ability to control our courts and the ability to control our political process through the committee man process, which, again, the true committee man is the people who are in the committees of safety. That is the true committee man. The elected committee man, which is the facade, is no committee man at all. Those committee men are statutorized. They're controlled by statutes and party rules, controlled by party bosses. So you're under control. As for me, I'm free and independent. All the people that have that position and work in the counties and become true committee men, we're free and independent. We don't answer, and we're not controlled by anyone but ourselves. So that's the way to do it. That's the process. Hopefully I answered the question. The main situation is getting educated. So get educated. That's what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. We have lots of education underneath our educational tab. We have many courses. We have a foundation study. We have a constitutional course 101, Introduction to the Constitution. We have a free civics course. We have government by consent course. We have a free militia course. And we also have a jury administrators accredited course. And our most recent course, which is a live course in process, we're coming up on a third session, we're still in the introduction, that is court access in the common law. If anybody really wants to know how they control their government and wants to participate in that, that's probably the best course you can take. You should take all these courses, as a matter of fact, because you'll get a lot of redundancy, but the key of learning really is reading, and just looking at these things over and over and over again. So when it's repetitive, repetitiveness is the key. But anyway, we have to be able to master the courts and control the courts. That is our inheritance, by the way, also. The courts are our inheritance. It's to be controlled by the people. It's not to be controlled by a judge. No judge can sit in judgment to the people. They can only sit in judgment to cases in equity and not cases in law. So when it comes to we the people, we're under God's law. We're under natural law. We don't answer to government legislation, and nor do we answer to a judge. And a lot of people are in jail because a judge made a decision on them and they accepted it and went to jail. They acquiesced. It's still unlawful. I mean, you can go to jail and spend time in jail, years in jail, and you can get out and spend years later and then come to realize how they injured you. You can go back and sue. Terrible to have to go through a jail time, and there needs to be some restitution there. But in any event, the key thing here is really knowledge and control through knowledge. All right, next question.
Okay, we have two questions about Anna von Rentz tonight. Here's the first one. John indicated his belief that she was attempting to institute a shadow government, to which he was opposed. It seems to me that our entire movement was born out of the deception of what I think we all believe is a current shadow government. Da, da, da. We do not currently have the constitutional republic which the founders established. So what other term can be applied? Moreover, as the creators of the government and in accordance with the founding documents, for example, the Declaration of Independence, we, the creators, have the obligation, right, and duty to fix the creation or the government when it is determined to be broken. Yes? Since it is clear that what was created no longer exists, does the act of recreating, i.e. fixing, what is broken constitute the creation of a shadow government?
Well, look, the problem is not our government structure. Our court systems are fine. Our process and procedures of court is fine. Lots of United States Supreme Court decisions are good. Again, how the structure of our entire government is fine. The problem is not with the structure of our government and all of the processes of our government. The problem is with the criminals that are in charge and executing those things and not even obeying their own rules and their own laws. That's the problem. But to recreate this whole system is total insanity. There's no way. There's people that I don't know of any group of people that are capable of doing what our founding fathers did. I don't know of anybody alive that can do that. You know, a group of people, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. They want to throw out the existing constitution and go in afresh. That is total insanity, and that is one of the problems. I don't want to get too involved in talking bad about another group of people or an individual particularly. But buyer beware, so to speak. And the key thing really is if you listen very closely to what is being taught and you ask questions and just listen for the consistency, the truth will really shine out and whether what they're talking about is consistent or it's not consistent. And if there's inconsistency there, then you know you got a problem, you don't have truth. So just listen very carefully to what we're teaching here. We try to be as very consistent as possible. From time to time, we find ourselves in error. We make those corrections and we move on. But we really are following what our founding fathers has laid out. And we can use the very same system that they used to create this great nation. We can use the very same system to take back this nation. So everything is in place. We just have to take it back and get rid of all of these enemies, foreign and domestic. And our courts are filled with enemies, foreign and domestic. We have to get rid of the Bar Association. It's a major, major problem. Not that we don't need lawyers. We do need lawyers. There's lots of work, especially in the equity side of things. I find studying civil law, let's say equity law, totally boring. But people have to study that. There are thousands of pages, depending on what U.S. code we're looking at, and we need lawyers, people who are trained in that area, to be able to represent whoever they have to represent within these different agencies. The president, for instance, has to be obedient to the law, and he has to follow the law. And I don't know of any president that knows the loads and the law and the codes. He has to rely on lawyers, and so therefore, lawyers are needed everywhere. And also in a lot of different things that people might want to do. We need a lawyer. If you're going into court, you should be coming in as in your own person. I strongly suggest that. Of course, you can hire a counsel to work with you on that as a second chair, and you can either keep them on the side as an advisor or you can allow them to speak from time to time if you're comfortable with that. But you have to control your own court case. The moment you pass it on to someone else, you've lost it. Because the lawyer is going to betray you. A bar attorney is going to betray you. But the bar is the reason why our government is in the condition it's in. They are the ones that have done everything to turn everything upside down. They totally destroyed our courts. They statutorized the entire political political system, as I mentioned a little while ago. They have taken control of that. They control our monies, the economy. They control our religion. They control the media. They control everything. Pharmaceuticals, our medical system. They control the schools. They control everything. And they protect all of the things that they put together. Most lawyers have no clue of this because they never were taught common law. They're not aware of common law. They believe we're under civil law. They think we're under Roman law. They call it Roman law. Because after all, they spent a couple hundred thousand dollars and a couple of years in school to learn all this stuff. Of course, it must be right. It must be correct. And they have a real hard time understanding the things that we write or the things that we put together, where the common person whose mind has not been poisoned by all of this bar-taught information, they see what we are teaching here that we learned from our founding fathers. We learned from common law and the Bible. People are able to see this very quickly. We read many things, and it's clear to us. But lawyers do have a problem with that, bar attorneys, that is, bar lawyers. There are lawyers out there that were not trained as bar lawyers. But they are looked at as like second-hand citizens, so to speak, in the judicial system. And no lawyer becomes a judge unless the bar approves them. And therein is the major problem, back to the same thing, you know. All right, next question.
Is there a way to see the questions already submitted?
You know, we did talk about doing something with that, didn't we? I don't remember. Well, I think we did for a while start taking questions and answers even through the open forums that we have here. But did we do anything like that and post anything up? Were we doing it a while back?
We never posted anything. Some of the information was transcribed, and there was an effort to create a wiki. But the trouble was, when a question was asked, it gave everything that went on until the next question came up, and a lot of it was not relevant exactly to the question. I tried using it one time. I put in one simple question, and I got 35 pages back. And the majority were not relevant, so I decided it was not a viable option.
Okay, these are MP3s. I know we have some music here. We were doing transcriptions here. When did we stop that? Looks like 2019. Did we stop that in 2019? Yeah,
no,
I guess.
I think it went on for maybe a year to 2 years at the most.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it would be great if we don't have enough people really to be able to put that together, and enough people that are volunteering their time. But if someone would like to volunteer their time and start creating a Q&A off of what we've been doing here on our Monday programs, and also on in our courses or at past meetings that we've had. You know, we do have transcripts here, and we also have everything in MP3. And we also have a place here under today's issues where we have NLA Monday open forum videos. We don't post many of them up here. Just occasionally we'll post one up here or there. So you can go back. These are the most recent videos of our Monday night programs that I thought were important to put up. Also, we do have a page here. Let's see. Where's that other page? We got the Monday night. Oh, under education here. I'm pretty sure it is under here. Topical. We have a topical page here. And I think it's under this topical page. Hang on a second. No, it's not there. Let's see. I wonder why I can't. Maybe I'm going to make this a little smaller to get in there to see this. We still have to have some more work done on this, Jan, for this drop-down boxes, because they do drop off the page. Okay.
Right.
Let's see. Courses, educational videos. That's it. Okay. Here's some videos that we've put together over the years. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be posting one up here. Some of these may be off of a Monday night program. Some of them aren't. Most of this will be off of the Monday night program, though. I've done one on slavery, which we also did on a Monday night program, which is on that page over here under today's issues, Monday night program, open forum. But over here I'm going to put, but that would be like 2 hours, or maybe back then it was even 3 hours, because some months back we moved from 2 hours to 3 hours. So we were closing down at midnight, but now we close down at 11. But over here, we'll be posting some more. I've got a lot of videos, educational videos, PowerPoint videos that we're going to put up. One I'm going to put up this week, I meant to put it up over the weekend, so maybe I'll put it up tomorrow. And it's on slavery, our founding fathers and slavery. People need to get educated in this. If you haven't heard the truth concerning our founding fathers and slavery, you really got to watch this. You know, I speak a lot about being called a democracy. You know, the Democrats, for instance, they believe in democracy. They think we're trying to destroy their democracy. Well, to be blunt, we kind of are trying to destroy the democracy, because we're not a democracy. We're a republic. Our foundation of who we are as a people is a republic. We're a people of law. Our founding fathers despised democracy. But anyway, that's an issue that we need to know about, and We'll post something on that. If we don't have a video on that, we will post one up in this general area. But again, a lot of the important subjects, I do try to create PowerPoints, and we'll be posting them up on their own here, just a PowerPoint without embedding it inside of a Monday night program. All right, next question.
Okay, got to find the questions again. I have a case out of state. Next hearing is March 10th, and I've yet to find help reviewing the challenge jurisdiction paperwork. I had hired an attorney. Should I request he file the challenge of jurisdiction on my behalf or relieve him of his duties and ask the court for more time to get counsel?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to ask for more time to get counsel, and I strongly suggest get educated, defend yourself. A lawyer will never challenge the jurisdiction, at least not the jurisdiction you're looking to challenge. That's number one. Number two, you don't have to travel to another state to attend the court. You can do that by phone. You just have to notify them, hey, I'm hundreds of miles away. I'd like to come in on phone. They can't deny you that. That's number one. But you let them know, I'm going to respond by paper. You definitely should challenge jurisdiction. That's key. We've got paperwork up here. If you're a premier member, you can come up under Education Starts Here and come down to, let me see where this is at. This should be under Law. Court forms and process. So under Education Starts Here, Law, court forms and process. And on that page, now a premium member, by the way, is someone who's given $5 a month or more. So you need to be a premium member to see this page here. That may be really the only page we require people to be a premium member. So we have information here, instructions and forms to move your case, to do a habeas corpus, to challenge jurisdiction. There it is, challenging jurisdiction. Instructions and forms for traffic court, and so on. And that's pretty much a challenging of jurisdiction also. But all of this stuff here and far, far more is found under Education Starts Here, Court Access and the Common Law, and you come over to our documents and forms here. Now, the only people who will see these two links, which is Court Access Document Forms and Court Access Recorded Video Course. Okay, and that's the live course we're doing right now. And like I said, we'll be part three coming in. It's going to be quite a lengthy course, probably 4 months altogether, maybe even longer, but we're trying to squeeze it into 4 months. We'll see. I don't want to cut anything out, so we have a lot to share on that. So anybody that's in the course, there's no need to even go to that other page. It's a far better page here. You could click on Court Access Documents, and this lays out the entire course. This is a table of contents of the course. We're covering introduction, and we're still in introduction right now. We're in part three covering these issues. Chapter one will become the essentials. I think the essentials will probably take two sessions to get through. And then we'll be moving into the pleadings. And the pleadings will be we're spending a lot of time in. This will probably definitely be three, maybe or so, classes in order to get through the pleadings. But the thing is all the information you need is here. We have, even under here, we have court cases. Let's see, examples. We have enforcement. Here's case examples. So there's lots of case examples, and these are the most updated examples we have here, especially up against the IRS. I've written numerous cases on the IRS, and the most recent is up here. And they're all powerful. As we mature in it, we get more and more powerful. But anyway, this is what people need. If anybody's going into court, this is what you need to do to defend yourself. You need to be able to understand this. Now, again, you might still want to hire a lawyer, okay, as counsel. I don't know about wanting a bar attorney to talk in court because he'd probably be sanctioned to begin with because of the positions that you would bring up. They can't really sanction us, but they can sanction him or her. And so I don't know that you're going to get anyone to represent you like that. On the other side of devolution, it's going to be a whole different process. And also on that, the earlier question concerning where I gave the answer that we're working with, the Republic Review, well, page we had up before, in Republic Review. So that's going to be a big move once we get on the other side of devolution. And I know Trump and the patriots that will be left in Congress will push these issues through. I'm going to be writing a lot more papers, putting them in under start a committee of safety on different issues and how we might approach these issues. And so people that are doing committees of safety within their counties, they can go and read these different positions and ideas and approach the different issues, dealing with certain issues. For instance, how to control the school board. We can control the school board very, very easy. People just don't know how to do it. So I'm going to write a paper on that, how to do it, and people can tweak that and add to it, take away, or do whatever they want, because people are free and independent, and you know, so these committees of safety are free and independent. National Liberty Alliance doesn't control them. We just feed them the knowledge that they need and hope that they follow at least the framework of what we're doing and sticking to the law, because we have to be just. Otherwise, we deserve losing if we're not just. All right, anyway, hopefully that'll help. There is no simple solution if you have no knowledge of the courts. If you don't know how the court system works, you don't know how what you know, the proper mindset and the attitude you have to have when you go into a court, they have to wonder about you. And you start bringing these things up that we're teaching, they're going to wonder about you. First of all, some of it they're going to struggle with. And it's going to be, especially with the judges, you know, it should really bring them to realizing that they may be the enemy. But in any event, you got to control your own case. All right, next question.
Okay, this is the second Anna Von Ritz question. I am curious if you might reconsider the opinion about the information and process Anna Von Ritz has brought to light. Number one, because there are common intentions, exposing fraud, correcting assumptions, getting others educated and involved. Number two, there could be a future conflict if different groups start too many different ways about occupying or restoring the republic as it's meant to be. I understand the disagreement over the Constitution. However, I view it as irrelevant, mostly because, in the end, it is and will be the people who decide what happens and how to move forward.
Well, yeah, and if the people decide to move forward on false things, on fiction, then that's what they're going to get. I can tell you, and again, I, you know, when it's brought up, I have to speak about it. I don't like to talk about other people, but that group, that individual, is a Pied Piper. They connected quite early on. Well, not quite early on with us. They connected with us. Maybe we're a couple of years into doing what we're doing. I don't recall particularly when they made contact with us, and all of it. They came out of left field. Anna Von Ritz was nowhere to be seen. At least we've never heard of her, and I never saw anything about her until after we were doing what we're doing, and that she had come up and is doing the same, kind of the same thing, and doing it differently, though, of course. You know, they are creating judges. People are just picking up positions and saying, I'll be a judge, and they become judges, and some people become prosecutors, and all kinds of different positions and ideas, and they want to try people sort of in the back room of Denny's, so to speak, and the basement where they're going to put the prisoners, you know. I mean, they talked about arresting these people. I have no idea where they're getting these ideas that they think they're going to be able to execute. We do know we had some people down in Florida that connected with the Sovereign Citizen Movement. We tried to help them. They were members, and they ended up in jail. One of the individuals was elderly and died. We had people out west. What state was that in, Dan?
Was that Colorado?
Yeah, Colorado. We had a group there that was following really the ideas of Anna Von Ritz. And we told them, you know, that they got to stop because they're putting us in jeopardy to begin with, because that's not who we are. And they were in danger of going to jail. Well, they went to jail. And, you know, I don't know exactly what happened with all those people, but we did have to cut them off, and we wrote a paper. I'm pretty sure we wrote a paper. If you go under our welcome tab, you'll come down and you'll see there's a mission statement, and then we have disclaimers. Okay, so we have major problems that we may have had by people coming in to try to change our agenda, move us in a different direction, give a different reflection of who we are. It causes problems, so we did disclaimers on some of these things. We also had a group that kind of moved in with the same kind of thing out west with Lavoy Finnegan and the groups out there. This guy took this thing in a whole different direction. Anyway, we have to be careful. We're staying with what our founding fathers constructed. We're staying within the laws of our republic as it came together, ultimately under the Constitution, as far as putting the government underneath our thumb, so to speak. We're above the Constitution. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution. Therefore, we're above it. We are the lawmakers, and they have to be obedient to the law that we wrote. We're not under their law in any way, shape, or form. We never gave them any permission, any authority to write any codes or statutes or anything to control our behavior. But we control their behavior. And when we're in court as a jury, we can negate anything they bring up with the power of nullification. And that's the key to control all these things. Once you get enough educated people, and we will educate people as they come in to become jurists, whether it's a grand jury or a trial jury. We wrote handbooks on both issues, and they will be handed out to those people once we take control of those issues within every county of America. We have a plan working that out. Once we control the courts, we now can influence and teach these people what the law is and what their power and authority is as the people, that they're the lawmakers. And it's a really simple thing in common law, because you just follow your heart. It's that simple. People know when a wrongdoing is done. They know what kind of a situation takes place and what the penalty should be. And in most cases, it should be a restitution of the individual, not jail sentences. Jail is for violent people. And it's definitely not for, a lot of issues that take place. People don't belong in jail. I've been talking for a while, and I kind of lost track of my focus of what was that question again? Just a little bit of it, maybe the beginning.
It was about Anna von Rich.
We're very careful in what we do. We challenge people. Look, if we're in error, correct us. We'll go and we'll take a look, and if we agree, then we'll alter our course in this area or that area. But we're very careful. Everything is done by research. I know all my writing has footnotes, loaded with footnotes. We're following common law. We're following the Constitution, all the founding fathers. We're following the Federalist Papers, Anti-Federalist Papers, and the regular Federalist Papers. We're following the law. That's who we are as a people, and we're not going to move away from that. It doesn't make any sense to rewrite this stuff, to re-debate this stuff, and create something else, because it definitely wouldn't be what our founding fathers put together. All right, is there any other questions, or is that it?
Yeah, we have several more. One here.
Move it on to next week. Let's take one more.
Well, we have two that really need some help here.
Okay, let's do the two then.
Would like some guidance on enforcing a land patent that Robert Overhewell helped me do. My uncle has sold the properties and is now deceased. And I can't remember my login. I got him all set up on that. The attorney entered a case for entry of limited appearance only and has never submitted at any time through the whole case pursuant to the law. That clearly says an attorney is required to file a notice of termination of limited appearance to withdraw from representation. Approximately 3 months later, after the first entry of limited appearance was filed, another attorney and the co-attorneys from a different law firm entered an appearance in the case. Could the last attorneys from the different law firm have entered without the first withdrawing?
Well, if I understand, he's trying to get rid of his lawyers, correct?
And he can't shake them. He's trying to see if he can do the case himself, yes, represent himself.
Well, again, if he's educated and understands the system and the process and, you know, how the procedure works and how the flow works through, and, you know, I've been going through a lot of the rules. The rules are, on the one hand, unlawful. It was done improperly, and it abrogated the common law. So therefore, if it's bad in one part, the whole thing is bad. And that's a principle. And but in any event, there are a lot of the rules that they put together were rules that actually existed prior. So a lot of the rules make a lot of sense and should be applied. And again, rules, so to speak, are made to be broken. I don't mean that in a way that you want to get rid of rules altogether. That's not the point. The point is when you get a bad rule, well, then you don't use that rule, or you deny that rule. And I haven't found too many rules yet. Rule 2 was a major rule problem. Of course, that's the one that abrogated the common law and fused together and created civil law. And so in the rules, they just took total control of the legislation and the total control of the authority in the courts and turned our entire system upside down. And that was done through the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, executed in 1938. And so therein is the problem, is that particular rule. But again, these rules make a lot of sense and can be used. And when a rule is repugnant to the Constitution, then you nullify it. You don't use it, and you make your argument against anyone who is trying to use a particular rule that is repugnant to the Constitution. On this side of devolution, it's kind of difficult. It's an uphill battle. I've always discovered since the day I started doing these things and going into the courts, I've discovered it's constant. Before I can even get to my case, I spend too much time fighting the judge. It's a constant battle with the judge to keep you into your jurisdiction, to maintain a common law procedure and a process, and to get everybody to obey even the rules that they've got themselves. They break their own rules. They break the statutes. They don't obey anything. And the statutes are written to control them. Remember, we can use statutes for them. so they're lawless. And we just have to bring the law in. And it's an uphill battle right now. But the things can be won, depending on many different things. But if you have a just case, and we're on the other side of devolution, and we have courts of justice, and you got a just case, you should win your case then. And it's just a matter of understanding the process and the procedure and the common law and the attitude you have to have. And, you know, a mindset. I guess that's about all I can say about that.
Can I add a little bit?
Sure.
We can sit here with John and listen to him every week. And nothing's going to get better. It's only when we take the initiative to read and learn and get our minds in sync with common law do we begin to understand and see what needs to be done and know where we should go. And that class helps, but it still comes down to reading. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Yeah, and look, at the people going through the courses certainly hope at some point in time they realize the importance of them getting involved on the county level and assisting people in the committees of safety and leading them to the course, leading them and instructing them in areas of law. And, you know, the committees of safety is going to have a judicial committee, and the people who understand the law are the people that are going to want to be on that particular committee. But there's a lot of things and issues. You know, battling the school districts is going to be a big thing, and you have to understand the law to battle those people. Once you understand the system, the process, and the law, you can take control of these people and these school boards. You can force them to do the will of the people. You can remove them from their positions, and that could be done quite quickly. 10 days for a removal through either a quo warranto, if you're doing it through the court, or a notice and demand if you're doing it directly. And I would do it directly first, but of course, unless there was a need to take them into court. But you can go to court for enforcement, because once you file the notice and demand and they disobey, then you and they got to give up their office, Well, then you open up a court case and you move for a summary judgment because they've already been notified, and you can also redo the same thing through a quo warranto in the court case, and then start using the enforcement, which we teach. We're going to be teaching the enforcement on this, and it's already up on our website. But going back to the original question concerning land patent, I don't know too much about it. I'm under the belief and pretty sure that all you have to do is go change your property over to private property, which is an uphill battle. You may have to take them into court to get it done. But I'm going to look into that a little bit. Hopefully I'll be able to look into that before the course is over, and maybe I'll talk a little bit about how to deal with it. But remember, on the other side of devolution, this thing with the land patents may not be a big deal at all because, you know, look at the being taxed on your property is unlawful. It's a slave tax. How could it be that you have to pay tax every year on something you already own? It's insane. And people go along and fall along with this, and they become so, you know, their mind has been so beat up. They've lost their common sense, and they go along with these things. They need to step back and reconsider and realize, hey, I'm a slave. You know, I give them money or a piece of my salary every week or whatever it is. I pay my tolls concerning as far as my property is concerned, and it's ridiculous the amount of money they want. And people think that they need to take that money in order to build roads or deal with the schools. None of that money goes there. None of that money goes there. It goes into people's pockets. That's where it goes. Or it'll go on to certain things that will empower them. But in any event, we do have this book. It's Land Patent. I don't know if Gerard had a chance to go through it. I did ask him to go through it. But it's found here on that page that I mentioned earlier. It's under Education Starts Here. Come down to Law and click on Court Forms and Process. And on that page, you'll find it. It's one of the top things. Here's the top of the page. It's right here, Land Patent. You click on that. This book will open. It's 180 pages, and that should teach you everything you should know about land patents. But again, I don't know that it's necessary. When I get time, I'm going to look deeper into it, and hopefully Gerard will get time. If he hasn't read it yet, he will read it, hopefully, and then him and I can get together on the discussion and see the different ways about going about dealing with this problem. Okay, is that it?
I have one quick one here, and I have one from Bill Hedger, but I see he's in the queue, so he can ask it. Okay, this one is, why don't you have it where people can use their debit card to pay instead of mailing out for courses? That takes time to get to you, then to process. My time is limited, and I need help now. The question is, can I get a trust fund for my house so no debt can put a lien on it?
Well, you know, look, at there's a couple of things. You want to make sure that your house, I'm trying to think what they call this. It's been a while since I thought about this, but there is something that you have to file for your property when you can only do this on one piece of property, and it's the home you're living in. It prevents liens from being applied and losing your home ultimately. The only one that doesn't fit into that category is the IRS. They can take you home no matter what because they do what they please and they don't obey any laws. They make the law up and they don't even obey their own laws. But in any event, if I could think of it, I'll bring it up, what it's called. Goodness, I just can't think of it. In any event, read that question again.
Okay, just the last part. Can I get a trust fund for my house so no
debt? I wouldn't do that. That's dangerous. You know, look, at if you set up a trust on your home and you do a common law trust, you can do that. They're not going to, well, they're a little careful with trust. That is true because they've everything they're doing is in trust, and they've created these trusts in order to protect themselves. And that's what you're doing too. But you have to do it right. There has to be a beneficiary. It can't be you. You know, that could be a problem because, you know, they can look to see that you're paying for all of the cost of everything there and living there and so on and so forth. Who knows what kind of case they can make against you. I don't know why you'd want to do that. You can go into the courts, local courts, if you're concerned with the tax people, for instance. You can challenge their jurisdiction. You can win by moving it into federal court for cause. And again, we'll be teaching that in our course here. And also give you all the documentations and everything that you're going to need. Let me just open that page up again. Tremendous amount of information we have here. This is a system I set up for myself to, when I go into courts, I refer back to all of these things. So everything is here that I use. Okay. But you also have to, as you look into these things, you start to see how things work, and you have to be good at reading instructions. And reading instructions is just reading numerous times and going through very carefully and making a note on your instructions as you go through it, and then go back and reread it again. But you got to read from point A to point Z to go through all of it, because even in instructions, and people must have experienced this when they put things together on Christmas Eve or something, you start reading the instructions, you do this, and then you do that, and you do the other thing, and then they give you information that should have been done up front. Now you got to take things back apart to get back into that piece. So some people don't write instructions very well. But you have to follow instructions, and we're going to talk about that again in our course. All of this information is in here, in this course, if you want to take the course. Now, as far as the payment on that, on the course, we give almost everything away for free. The only thing we've really been charging over the years is the government by consent course, only because we needed money. People weren't given, so we said, okay, you got to be a premier member. You got to give us $5 a month or more, and that has been sort of the widow's mite has been really supporting us quite a bit, we had to rebuild the website. Our website is being rebuilt. Not so much. It's not going to be too much of a change, really, visually. But what's going on behind the scenes and different things that we need and upgrading to the latest, so that we can use the latest plugins to our program. So we had to get money together. And then I thought, well, let me do a course because then I realized I should have done this a long time. Well, maybe I wasn't ready a long time ago. But anyway, we put the course together. I wanted to make it very affordable, but we want to make enough money to be able to do what we wanted to do. And I took on checks and money orders mostly because, there's a piece of that. There's a lot of money that gets involved and lost in the process of moving money. First of all, we have to have a process that updates credit cards and different things of that nature, and that costs money. Then we have to have a... goodness, I'm trying to think of the names of what they call these things, but sort of I'll call it an interface, go from, it's a secured process that you have to go through, and you have to pay for that secured process, and you have to pay for whatever money's going through. Then you have to pay also a charge on the credit card. And we didn't know how many people were going to get into the course, so I figured, well, we're just going to do checks and money orders. But we are moving over now to credit cards for this. I got a note into our technician that we're going to have a meeting with on a lot of different issues, but I told him we need to move on this right away, and I'm going to bug him again tomorrow if I don't hear from him by tomorrow to try to get that in. So people will be able to go in, click on the information on the course. If they want to join it, they'll then click on, to join the course, and it'll take them to our store. All the information, you have to be a member to do that. So once you're a member, all your information is already there. So we'll get an automatic, and we'll be able to automatically give you the ability to get into the course and send out an automatic email that would give also the code. So all that's being done right now as we speak. But we didn't do it in the beginning because we needed money. We needed a lot of it, and we needed it as quick as possible. And it turned out pretty good. So we did accumulate enough money to do all the things we need to do on our website. All right, I guess that's it.
All right, yeah. The last one, like I say, is Bill Hedgers, and he's in the queue. Okay. So,
well, we have any left over for next week, or we're caught up now?
We have one little one.
Well, let's do the little one and get it over with. I hope it's a little one.
Where did it go? Oh, can you explain the difference between trial by jury and demand a jury trial? And if either one is requested, can a judge dismiss claims and defendants?
Well, when you go in, you open up a court of record, that's a jury, you're going to go to a jury trial, period. Now, you have to understand that you're going to go through a process of motions. You're going to go through, first of all, you've got to do your pleadings, and you've got to serve it to the other side. There's a process for that, and certain papers have to be filled out. You've got to send a summons with it. It's got to be filed in the courts, and so on. So that's one part of the process. And then you get the answer, and then you get the answers to the answer, and you go back and forth in your arguments. Then motions are being made, and the discovery goes forward. And all of those things are all part of the process, because when you get into the court and actually, you know, get to the point where you're now going to have the trial, everything that's going to be in that trial has already been done. Both sides have already exhausted everything that they need to exhaust and bring up or discover, and it's all in the record. And so now you're now going to go to trial, and nothing can be brought into that trial that's not in that paperwork. So, and we're going to talk about that as we go through our course here. But nothing could be brought in unless it's a new discovery. And if the other side can show that, hey, you should have known that, and they prove that, then it's not coming in. So you got to be real careful, and you got to get everything in. You got to really sit down and think. And again, we're going to talk a lot about that inside the course. So anyway, I guess that's it, no?
Yes, that's it, John.
All right, we'll go to our open forum. If Gerard comes in, let me know. I don't see him here. So. All right, we'll go in and take our callers here. Anybody wants to get into the queue, if you're on a phone, star 6 and a 1. If you come in on an app, there should be something on your app. What does it say on the app? Get in, join queue or something like that, the queue? I don't know what it says on the app. But anyway, let's take our callers. Okay, looks like the first person is Jim from PA. At least it should be opening. Why ain't it opening? Let me try it again. Well, let me try unmuting. Go ahead, Jim. You got the mic? I think you're muted. Let me try it again. Yeah, you're muted on your end, Jim. Let's see. Yeah, I've already unmuted you, Jim. You're muted on your end. So I don't know. Maybe you have to hit... the mic on the bottom of your browser there or your app. All right, I'm going to take the next caller. Jim, if you pop back in, I'll see you pop back in, and I'll take you in ahead of the rest of the line here. But right now I'm going to go to the next caller. Okay, let's go to Eli. Eli, you got the mic. What state are you in?
Hey, in Hawaii.
How you doing? Eli from Hawaii. Go right ahead. You know, someone in Hawaii was asking for a list. I don't know if they're on the call tonight. Jan, did you respond to that email, someone asking for a list in Hawaii? Did you see that email?
Yes, I sent that out the day after the last meeting.
Okay.
Or that same night, I think.
All right, go ahead, Eli.
Okay. My email's not working, so I didn't get whatever list you guys are talking about. But,
well, were you requesting it? Someone requested a list of all the people in Hawaii and that are NLA members, and so that was...
Yes, so I'm working with KHH, and we're trying to start our Committee of Safety, and I'm the one on your website listed as the leader, or at least I was, but I haven't...
Okay.
Anyways, I've been slow getting to it, but so... First small question is Ed Strain still helping with that?
Well, yes. Ed's still with us, yeah.
Ed, he is. Okay, I'll try and call him about that. So my main question is about the clause that every state of the union shall be guaranteed a Republican form of government.
Right.
And I kind of brought this up before, but I wondered if anybody else has been... you call entertaining the issue, and the part about it that, you know, who guarantees, who's the guarantor, basically, is the other states, right? So that clause, I'm thinking, allows sister states to meddle in the dealings of another state if their form of government is becoming, like you say, like a democracy, is getting, you know, treason is happening, problems are happening.
Yeah, the clause was written in there the federal government, is supposed to enforce that any state that doesn't put forward a Republican form of government, it is their duty, because we've told them to do so, it is their duty to guarantee it, so they have to interfere with that state to make them a Republican form of government. The problem is even our federal government isn't Republican anymore. And Republicans don't even realize this. You know, that was one thing I learned early in life when I was very young. I don't remember what I was. Maybe I was turned 18 or 19. I was very young. And I wanted to go vote. And I was trying to figure, well, what party should I join, the Republicans or the Democrat? You know, I mean, I didn't know anything. Nobody could answer the question. But I did figure it out, and I did see and understand the difference between democracy and the republic back then by looking into it. And the computers weren't around back in those days, so you didn't have that to look into it. But I did find it, and I said, well, okay, I got to be a Republican, you know. But Republicans don't even know that they're Republicans. They don't understand, the contradiction of even permitting a democracy, a Democratic Party, because that is really at enmity with who we are as a people. And anybody elected in a position that is pushing forward democracy is committing treason, because we are not a democracy. Yet people talk about it. I come to realize, I'm very conscious of it, every day, at least two or three times a day, and no exaggeration. Even today, I recall a situation listening to something online as far as news is concerned, and people who should be in the know. For instance, Dave from X22 just referred to us as democracy. He doesn't know. President Trump refers to us as a democracy, and I'm surprised he doesn't realize it yet. You have Supreme Court justices that call us a democracy. That's how far away from, who knows, and I brought this up, we brought this up on our course recently in numerous occasions. You know who knows we're a republic? Barack Obama. Hmm. Barack Obama, the enemy of the state ultimately, understands that we're a republic, and he mentioned his last big quote that I've heard was the end of the republic never looked better, because he thought it was over and he thought Hillary was going to win and that was it, and because she was supposed to end the through an 8-year process to totally end the republic altogether, and a lot of us would be dead by now probably, and who knows where we'd be, but in any event, we have a problem, and we need to start correcting people. People in the know, you need to correct people, and you need to have the proof to show them this is who we are. We're a republic. We're not a democracy.
Okay, so to clarify, though, you think that the federal government is the only one who is the guarantor of that clause?
States are required to be a Republican form of government, and if they're not, then yeah, they are the executors to make that happen, to fix that problem and deal with that subversion, because that's what it would be. Any state that comes up that is not a Republican form is in subversion to the Constitution. They're tyrants ultimately.
I guess to get a little bit more specific, who would be the federal office in Hawaii or in any state that would be sort of first to look into things?
We got a paper into the United States Supreme Court, okay, and that paper is addressing that issue. It's addressing about 20 issues, and that's one of 20 issues roughly, or 18 issues.
Is that the quo warranto?
Yeah. It's not the quo warranto. It's a memorandum of law. Not a memorandum of law. It's a writ mandamus to the United States Supreme Court. Now, I forget exactly whether it's 18, 19, or 20, points that we made. And each one of those points need to be corrected in order to return our courts back to courts of justice, and we're a republic again. Without those being corrected, We are not a republican. It's not recognized in our courts. There is really no enforcement. Now, you can get some enforcement on certain things, but in a big, big issue like you're talking about, you're not going to get any judge that's going to push that forward at this point in time.
United States Supreme Courts
would be the only one, but they seem to be choking on it also. But go ahead.
Okay, one more brief thing. So we don't have a sheriff. We have people called sheriffs. They're not elected.
Yeah, we're going to be working.
Have you heard of any committee of safety gaining any ground without a sheriff? Like the position that we're in, how are we going to get recognized? What's our first move?
Yeah, it's too early to say because we don't have enough committees of safety going. I'm not aware of any information coming back to me concerning a place that doesn't have a sheriff yet, with the exception of you guys. Connecticut doesn't have sheriffs. Hawaii doesn't have sheriffs. Alaska doesn't have sheriffs. New York has lost 7 of its 62 sheriffs. And there's a few other places that, counties that don't have sheriffs in different states. And also there's movement in various places to get rid of sheriffs. Of course, this is a bar attorney movement, by the way. This is all going through the court systems and trying to do these things. But they convinced the people to give up their sheriffs, which that's not even possible because then you're no longer a republic. If you don't have a sheriff, you're not a republic. You have no law enforcement. Right. Okay, that's your problem. Yeah. Now, we are going to address that in a very, very big way soon, hopefully. Again, probably on the other side of devolution. And we're going to deal with it collectively. We're going to deal with not just Connecticut here, which is next door to me, not just the 7 counties in New York, which I'm in New York, and we're also going to include Hawaii and Alaska. They need sheriffs. They need common law enforcers. And without that, there's no protection and there's no law enforcement, no true law enforcement. A paper cannot be, a summons cannot be served in the sense of a seizure. A seizure cannot be served without, only the sheriff can serve a seizure, okay? Police departments can't do that. They don't have that authority. And it's up to the sheriff, who is the chief law enforcer of the county, to make sure that it's valid.
So I just heard that our chief law enforcer is our attorney general.
Yeah, that's a joke, huh?
Yeah, okay. And then, so if it's just a joke, two things I wanted to hear your comments on. That was one. And the other one is I know a guy who runs a gun shop out here, and he said that for whatever reason, our prosecutors are now taking gun classes and are said to be going out to do investigations and carry guns while doing so.
Yeah, that's insane, too. All that's going to come to an end soon. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I suggest to go listen to the last X-22. Are you familiar with X-22, Dave?
Yeah, I've been listening.
Okay, well, today he covered some issues, and unfortunately he called us a democracy, I think, today. But in any event, he played some clips of Trump at CPAC. Powerful, powerful stuff. He's on a warpath. He's talking right out. I'm going to fix this. We're going to deal with this problem. If you haven't heard this, you need to go hear it. I have not heard the entire speech from CPAC yet. But I'm going to after the program, I'm probably going to see if I can't find it.
Is Trump's plan to fix this anything in line with your guys' plan? Do you know anything about it? Like, what could he do as president?
Absolutely. Because Trump executed devolution back in 2017, okay? He became very much aware of the conspiracy of the enemies, foreign and domestic, taking our nation back down. He saw that the FBI was corrupt, the CIA is corrupt, Homeland Security. It's all full of corruption. And he worked things out with the military. It's just a plan of time. The big problem is the people wouldn't understand the military going up against the government and starting arresting congressmen and all kinds of people. They wouldn't understand that, and it would cause more havoc. And so that's why the plan was put into effect. He did a lot of damage to the New World Order, so to speak, or the the government, the hidden government, so to speak. The whole process is coming through, and he forced them into a position where they're really exposing themselves. I mean, almost everybody can see it at this point. And once the people realize, and we're heading for war right now, and I think that's going to be the big scare, potential nuclear war against China and Russia. Okay, yeah. That's where we're heading. And that's when the people is going to really wake up at that point. I mean, they're waking up through their pocketbook. You know, things are expensive. Everything's hard to survive. They don't have their free speech anymore. All these problems with free speech. I mean, it's coming to a head. And I think it's ready to move because of the way he's talking at the CPAC now. I mean, we're aware of this stuff, and now the people are becoming aware openly of it. And it's going to happen soon, I hope. But it looks like he's ready to move. Dave feels pretty strong. It looks like he's ready to move, too. With what he brought forward, it was, I agreed with him. Yeah, it looks like he's ready to move. So.
Okay. Is your resource on the website, the Campaign for Constitutional Sheriffs, does that have any information regarding getting a sheriff or just how
well,
to
look it.
Sheriff?
Look, let me ask you, they call him a sheriff, and what, are they appointed?
Yes.
Okay, well, why don't you get your sheriff a copy of the book, Government by Consent? Okay, okay. You join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. If you click on this right here on the right hand side of our website here, you click on the.
I don't see the screen.
Okay, but well, you can. It's on our website on the right side, on the front page. But I just changed everything in here. People were sending, the money to me, and we were putting two letters into the books and shipping it out. And I spent a lot of time doing that. It took a lot of my time. And hopefully we're going to get a lot more of this happening because we're hoping to get critical mass soon. And if we get critical mass, I'm just not going to be able to handle all that. So I went back to putting it where the people will buy the book directly themselves. And then we put the two letters, a letter from Sheriff Darr. For the people who are watching, you can see here, here's the letter from Sheriff Darr introducing our book and encouraging them to learn the Constitution. And then there's a letter also from National Liberty Alliance. Both of them are just one page long, so they're short. And so we ask people to get the book, put the two letters inside of it, and give it to their sheriff. And if they're creating committees of safety, they should follow the process we set forth. Underneath, let's see, the tab Starter Committee of Safety. There's a plan, handbooks, and tools, and you just follow the plan inside the handbook. You got the Committee of Safety. Committee of Safety handbook. This is the Committee Man handbook, the Charter Organizing Hand. Here it is, Organizing Handbook. Okay, and this is 66 pages, and it's a step-by-step process to create a Committee of Safety within your county. And you go through that process. But what you want to do is just visit the sheriff. It's a very short meeting you want. You don't want to spend much time with him. You just want to introduce yourself, tell him, hey, look, there's a lot of problems, as I'm sure you can see what's going on. We have a constitutional crisis. I want to give you this book. I know you're not elected, but we're pushing to get back to elected sheriffs again, and when that happens, if you're on board with us, we're going to support you if you're a constitutionalist. That's how I would put it to him. And give him the book and say, hey, look, we're forming a committee of safety. Once we get everything together, we'd like to have a meeting with you. But if it's possible, if you got a committee of safety going, what you want to do, though, first is when you go over to that page, you want to get your charter up. Okay, which it's really we've laid it all out for you. You can add whatever you want to this charter. We certainly hope people keep pretty much the structure we have. And then you want to also get your resolutions together. We set forth a plan for resolutions, a plan of action.
Is there a charter and resolutions in the Committee Man handbook?
It's all on the page. If you go to our site and you highlight Starter Committee of Safety and you come down to Handbooks and Tools. That's where you go to. And when you're on that page, is all the handbooks. We got the charter. So you can create a charter, come together with a meeting, get a charter going.
The charter is only on the site. It's not on the books.
No, it's too much to put into one book. I'll just read it off. We have the Committee of Safety Charter. We have the Committee of Safety Committee Man Handbook, here talks about the political side of things and how to take the political process back. We have the organizing handbook for the organizing of the Committee of Safety. We have a Committee of Safety resolutions. We have the Committee of Safety vow. We have a common law handbook. We have elected officials handbook. We have the grand jury handbook. We have other information on nominating petitions independently. We have the militia codes, rules, and regulations, because the Committee of Safety is the militia. And you have a pettigrew handbook. We got a recall petition, sheriff's common law handbook, and village independent designating petition. And then we just have lots of tools, videos, and PowerPoints, just lots of things in order to work out your Committee of Safety and have lots of information to hand to them. So this page is a critical page for anybody creating Committee of Safety. Again, under Start a Committee of Safety, come down to Handbooks and Tools. Matter of fact, you can click Start here to organize a Committee of Safety and just follow through the process. Okay. And so that's the way to go. And if you haven't listened to the seminar that we gave goodness, I think it was 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, it's on our front page. You should definitely listen to the seminar, which lays this whole program out.
Okay. What tab is the seminar under?
The seminar is on our welcome page. And it's one of the first videos we have. Let's see, come down. Here it is, seminar, NLA's Plan to Save Our Republic, Government by Consent. It was recorded on 12/18/2021. So December of 2021 was recorded then. And it's about 3 hours long. It's 4 hours long. Okay. But it lays out everything. Lays out everything.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We'll take our next caller. Did Jim from PA get back in? Let's see if we can get Jim from PA going again. No, he's still unmuted. He's still got himself muted. Okay, Jim, if you're hearing me, you should probably pop out of there, pop back in, and we'll see you on the bottom. I'll pull you up top. And but you got to unmute yourself. Okay, we'll take our next caller. It is Dan. From what state are you from, Dan? MT, I'm trying to remember.
Montana.
Okay.
Montana.
You got the line.
If you could go slower, showing me how to get to that patent page, I'm trying to find that again.
Okay. Are you a Prima member?
Yes. I'm logged in.
Education starts here. Are you watching?
Yep.
Okay. You come down to law. Okay, and then you come over to court forms and process. Click on that. That's the page. And that's the only page I think we have. Jen, do we have any other pages that you have to be premium member?
I don't think so.
Yeah, only that and the government by consent course. That's the only two. Okay, and this is court forms, process, and instructions. Okay, and right here, right on the top here, land patent PDF. So, if you go through this, maybe you can give us your comments on what you think about this book. I have not read it.
Okay. Yeah, and then getting back to the GR thing, GR is working at the county level with the county commissioners or whatever you call it in your state.
Yeah, I think he's working with the legislators of the state. And I think he's got some states working together and trying to get this movement going. One way or the other, this is going to happen. And, you know, we're right behind them, any help he needs to assist him. And once the committees of safety are going, we got enough of them, you know, then for sure, you know, we'll start pushing our representatives within our states, within our districts, and start getting them to get on board with this. Within their states to push this. But the whole thing, one of the things that's very important to understand is we're not doing a con-con, we're just doing a republic review, which is just the removal of all bad stuff. And as far as there are certain things that government is doing that our founding fathers wouldn't have no idea about thinking about back in their day, but there are things that are needed that the government is doing, and it's doing it unlawfully, but is needed. That's a discussion that has to be opened up. We have to be very careful when we go in the mess with the Constitution. So we don't want to get a con-con going where people bring all these different issues up and trying to get all this other changes done. No, we want to, first of all, clean out the mess, we could do that through nullification. Ultimately, the states could come to agreement and come to and just nullify it, so we don't have to have a constitutional convention for that. Now, in issues where, you know, that we should do something about and keep, then we're going to have to figure out a way to come in to deal with that, and only those issues that the government has already put into effect that is unlawful but makes a lot of sense and we should do it. So, and again, he's working on identifying that. He's the expert on that. I'm not on those particular, you know, putting together all those issues.
He has a lot of information on his website.
Oh, yeah.
I keep saying this, but you and him need to get together and...
Yeah, we'll have a meeting soon.
But the Committee of Safety has a hang-up on, and I think it's just a different definition change.
Right.
And then Robert Schultz, too, and maybe other groups who...
Well, we have a meeting with all those individuals coming up.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. Oh, Jim's back in the queue. Let's see if we can unmute him. Jim, you're unmuted now. Go right ahead.
Hello, John. It's Jim in Pennsylvania.
How you doing, Jim? Go ahead.
Okay, listen, I want to let you know I called in on my regular call, and they wanted a password. So I used your alternative number, and I apparently I was muted.
I don't understand. You mean coming in here?
Called in on the regular number, and they wanted a password.
And you used the password?
It's left over from the course, John.
Yeah, no, then we what happened was I think you may have come into the room before I removed it because I forgot about removing it, and I tried to remove it like 10 or 15 minutes before. But some people did come in, and somehow that quirked everything out. But it's gone now. You don't need the password to get in.
Okay, I called in. I wanted to know if NOA has confirmed that they will have somebody at the Constitution Party state meeting in Clarion, Pennsylvania, on March 18th.
Yeah, you got my phone number, don't you? I did want to give you a call. You got my number, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, give me a call tomorrow. Let's talk.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, just wanted to find out if you have talked to our chairman, Bob Goodrich, because I thought you've talked with him in the past.
Not that I recall. I haven't heard from him. I don't have his number, and I presumed he'd call me, but I have not heard from him.
Okay, I'll try to get a time for you to speak, because that was what I wanted. Thought you might want to know, the time that you'll be speaking, because it's an all-day conference.
All right, well, let's talk tomorrow, and we'll get into some details. I'm not going to be able to travel out there, but I'm willing to come in probably on Skype or some other process, you know. What's the other one, Zoom or something like that? Because I don't think, well, let's talk tomorrow and let's see what's up. If I can really spend time educating people out there, I'll definitely come out, you know.
It would be worth it. I would really appreciate if you'd come out, John. I want to meet.
Let's talk tomorrow and see what options are available for that to happen and try to get a hold of the individual that you said that's kind of handling all this.
I'll have to talk to him before I call you because I cannot make any decisions on that. I'm not the chairman.
Maybe you can make, if you try to get him on the phone first, maybe we can make a three-way call or something. If he's got Skype or something, maybe. Okay?
You got
my cell number. Give me a call on the cell number, and if I'm on, if I'm in the office here, then we'll just move that over to Skype. But I know I have a little bit of running to do tomorrow, but not much.
Is there a particular time you want me to call you?
Anytime after, I know I got to run early in the morning, so let's say after 9 or 10.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very good.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay, we'll take our next question. Let's see. William from, what state you're from, William? Someone looked like when I clicked that button, they were kicked off the queue. Hopefully I'll recognize your name. If you come back into the queue, I'll get you next. But, William, what state are you from? You got the mic.
Colorado.
Colorado? You're going to have to get closer to your mic. You sound distant. We can barely hear you. William, can you hear me? Yeah, you got to get closer to your mic. I can't hear you. Can't hear you. I just barely hear in the distance.
John, I can read his question. Maybe you can answer it and he can listen.
Okay, go ahead. What's the question?
He's in the court access course. Now, his wife's brother recently passed away and left a decent estate but appears without a will. The result is that it may end up in probate.
It
Searching
will.
In the internet, it would appear that it is very difficult, but that it may be accomplished without a bar lawyer.
Well, before you go any further, hold on 1 minute. Let's go back to the beginning. Who died and a brother? What's the family situation?
It's his wife's brother.
Okay, his wife's brother. Now, the brother is not married.
I don't know. He doesn't have a
okay,
will.
Okay, well, his brother's married. Well, look, at the spouse gets everything. Of course, they bypass that. They ignore that, and people... I don't know whether they forgot this or what, but then they don't make that argument. Lawyers won't make that argument. That's why you got to take care of your own business, because lawyers are not going to make these arguments. Probate courts are major problems. They're only there to steal everything. When they're done, there'll be nothing left. And so I strongly suggest, A, that they take the course to learn the law and deal with their own problems that way through the court system. And they want to deny, you got to get someone in their family. I mean, it could be a child, it could be a parent. You know, I don't know what the family structure is. And so, you know, a spouse would be strong. Children would be strong. They have a right to it. The government doesn't have a right to anybody's estate, but that's what they do in probate court. They just milk the heck out of it till it's all gone. It's disgusting. It's the one. It's the second most evil court in America, only second only to the family court. It's just disgusting.
Okay. Do we have any common lawyers that might be able to help him out? He's willing to pay if we could find one.
Yeah. The only one I can think of is Brent. What state is he in?
I do not know. He's a 480 area. Excuse me. He doesn't have
Colorado.
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 Okay. Yes.
All right, is that William talking, or is that, who is that? Oh, that's Terry.
Terry.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so he's from Colorado, and what state is Brent in?
Say again?
Brent's in Indiana, isn't he?
Yeah. Indiana or Illinois.
I think I can hear Bill way back in the background. I wish he could get closer.
Very distant, very distant.
Yeah, he's talking. Right now, can you listen just a second?
I'll try.
Go ahead, Bill. Loud as you can. Yeah, I can't make out what you're saying, Bill. Can you turn your volume up at all?
No, you can't turn. He's got to get closer to his mic. Yeah, his mic may be low. That's right. All right, listen. What you're going to have to do, I'm going to go to the next caller. We'll keep an eye out for you. You got to figure out how to raise your mic volume. It's down on the right hand side, and of your computer, and then come back into the queue. We'll pull you up front once I see you in the queue. Okay, we're going to go to the next caller meanwhile. So come back into the queue as soon as you think you got your mic levels up. Okay, Larry from Arizona, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hello, it's Larry from Arizona. Couple of quick comments on people who want to donate to the NLA. I personally use a bill pay through my bank, and they don't charge me any postage, and they don't charge me for the checks, and then they mail it directly to you guys. Most banks have that option, so they should look into that. And second thing is, when they said the 480 area code, I think the don't know what they're talking about, because that's my area code where I'm at. 480 is the Arizona area code.
All right. But in any event, he's in a different state than Brent, probably. And, you know, he's the only common law lawyer that I know that I would trust. But, you know, he too has to deal with the bar problem, even though, and he's not a lawyer, but he is a lawyer.
I'm working on it. Anyway, that's all I had for tonight, but thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's take our next person. It's Will from New York. You got the mic.
Hi, John. This is Will from New York.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, great. It's going to be kind of quick so you can move on to the next person, but ever since I started taking the course, which I really enjoyed, you know, all these 4 years or 5 years I've been a member of NLA, all I've ever done is dial in, so I never saw the video, okay? I would like to make a recommendation that the MP3 recordings for Monday Night Calls be switched over to an MOV or whatever you're using for the recordings.
It was WMVs, but now it's for MP4s, so those are videos. We do post some of our videos up. Whenever I do something special or it's a particular night where it really was a lot of good stuff and some visual stuff, you know, then I post them up. And I post them up on, let me see if I can get my thing here. Okay, I post them up under today's issues, come down to NLA Open Forum videos. But you also can probably get to this. I think I set this up on the Monday Night Call. If you click on the Monday Night Call button, you can also click on the videos here. I'm pretty sure. Here, click here for Monday Night Video Recordings. So okay. We do have some up there on recordings, you know, that's recorded, that's in video, but not all of them. Not all of them.
John, the reason why I asked that tonight is because we've spoken before. I don't want to identify the grassroots organization that I'm the county chairman of, but mm-hmm. Some of my members attended a recent Republican committeeman course, and now they think they know everything about everything, okay? And what I was hoping to do for tonight, if it is that recording, if it's available, I want to share that particular one because I believe that the illustrations you showed are very, very powerful. And it's not that I don't have a receptive audience, but, you know, quite honestly, these folks are younger than I. You know, they've got that instant gratification mentality going on. And once they see there's actually, you know, visual as well as audio, I can probably gain their attention a little bit more. And that's all I wanted to say.
I think I have done a PowerPoint concerning this issue. And if I did, I'll get that up there. I'm going to get onto Rumble. Okay, or anything I record anyway, it goes to Rumble, and then we embed it into our website. So it'll be on Rumble, but I'll also place it under, let's see, where was the other? Oh, Education Starts Here. Well, let me see under today's issues, NLA Monday. No, okay. You know, I may stick it under here also. I may put two different links to the same place. But right now, Education Starts Here, and come down to Educational Videos. Now, I may put that under today's issues also, so you'll see the same tab. I'll see if I can't do that. But if you click on that, this is where I'll be posting new videos that are going up on Rumble. Now, tomorrow or tonight, well, not tonight, tomorrow I was planning on sending up something on slavery. It's a PowerPoint that I'd done a while back. People need to understand what our founding fathers were doing and what they tried to do to not have slavery as part of our government. But remember, this was a British thing that was brought in order to really destroy us, to demoralize us ultimately, and to make money off of us back in the colonies. And so they had no control over that. And when we became a nation, we had that problem with us, and they worked to try. Believe me, Jefferson was the biggest guy working to solve this problem. And what our founding fathers did and set the stage for, Lincoln saw, and he responded to that and said it was up to him now to deal with that problem. I know a lot of people try to say that, you know, the Civil War wasn't about slavery, but it was a big part of the Civil War. And if it wasn't for the slavery problem, we probably wouldn't even have a Civil War. So it was that was the big issue. But our founding fathers never wanted slavery to be part of who we are as a people. But there was a couple of states that, you know, back in those days, of course, colonies that became states that wouldn't come in unless the slave issue continued. And anyway, we cover that in the PowerPoint video. So I'll put that up there. But I think I also did one on the committee men, particularly through the Committee of Safety, and I might have done something, a comparison between the two. the elected committee man or the statutory committee man. It's not even elected anyway, but the statutory committee man versus the free committee man, which is through the Committee of Safety. And if I didn't, I'll work on one and get it up there. But I think I have one. If I do, I'll post it up maybe tomorrow if I can find it.
Well, that's wonderful, and I thank you very much for that. Like I said, if you wanted to, ask me any further questions, you have my contact number in your database, so, you can always ask further questions, but I won't hold anybody up. Thank you for the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, one other thing, we do have if you go to SADA Committee of Safety and you go to the handbooks and tools, okay, we have a very powerful handbook that I put together called the Committee of Safety Committee Man Handbook. And that is a PDF handbook, and it's 40 pages, and it lays out the committee man process, which operates a lot like the statutory committee man. Of course, we come from the common law perspective. In any event, this is pretty powerful here, so that might be helpful.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, Bill is from Colorado is back in the queue, John. If he can have his volume up now, we can maybe hear him.
Let's try it now. Bill, go right ahead. You got the mic. Can you hear us?
Okay, this is Bill from Colorado. Do you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Okay, I'm on the phone. I am taking your course. My brother-in-law died unexpectedly. We're not sure. We haven't been able to find the will.
Does he have a spouse?
And my spouse and her sister would be.
Yeah, but does he have a spouse? Is he married?
No, he was never married.
Does he have children?
He left. My wife and sister would be the closest surviving beneficiaries. And we think he had a will somewhere, but we've looked and we haven't been able to find it. And I think some of it is accessible by the ladies without going to probate. But some of it looks like it will not be able to. The largest share of it is in a Roth IRA, but there is no we've been told by them that there is no designated beneficiary. Mm-hmm. And
the closest family would be the beneficiaries, and that would be the common law, of course.
Okay, so he has several letters in his file from them asking him to write up to fairly recently to please, not please, but that they still don't have the designated beneficiary. Now, that's all kind of just background. What I would like to do, I would like to take care of if it's going to go into probate and everything's going to go into an estate, I would like to take care of that. Is it possible, or do you have somebody that could help me go through that?
Well,
like Brent, I was thinking of Brent. I've been on his website and I've known about him for several years, but I've never made contact with the guy.
Hmm. All right. Well, but you're not direct family. You're family through marriage, right? It's your wife.
Right. I'm married to the family.
Right. The family. You can go in if you become the educated one, and you should all become educated. Working as a group is powerful because, many hands make light work. So
some of these people are still living. They're just waiting things to get back to normal. You know what I mean? They're not. When I talk about NLA and things like that, people are very slow to pick up on it. Might be a better way than going with the bar lawyer, but everybody's screaming for a lawyer.
Right. Well, again, they have to be on board with this, and again, I would not think they'd be very much on board or really understand what's going on unless they take the course too. And so, if you can convince your wife, who is a sister of the individual who died, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's one right there. Is she on board with what's going on, or is she still hasn't made a decision on understanding this?
She's coming around, I'll put it that way. And
okay, well, you know what? Well, I'll tell you what. I do truly believe, okay, that this course will bring anyone around. If people are distant to the truth and what's going on and the power and the authority that they have and understanding what our true heritage is and how we can have government by consent and the power and the authority of that, if they have no clue on that, I'm going to tell you this course will open their eyes. You know, we're in part three of introduction. I never expected to spend three sessions in the introduction. I only expected to spend one, at worst case, two. But now we're moving into three. There won't be a fourth, though. I can see that we're not going to have to do a fourth one. But
John, I agree with that. I agree with that. And
So you got to convince them to come in and look at, you know, get them to be members, the family. You know, how many brothers and sisters does your wife have?
There's just the two girls left, and then my daughters. There's four people that should have been on the will, and it might still show up. But
did you? Are you in? You're in the course, right?
Yeah, I'm in
okay.
the course.
I've taken
all the jury administrator courses.
Okay, well, look, if you have them fill out an application and email it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, Jan will put it into the list and check the box, and we'll let her in. And your wife's already in with you anyway, right? You guys are in the course together?
No, we're not, but...
Share with the wife. I mean, you know, either share on the same computer. If she wants to do her own computer and through her own name coming in, that's fine. Just send that into Jan, you know, and, you know, your whole family. And so, fine, come in and do it. Let's get educated. And then you can deal with your own problems. And I think that their eyes will be open. You know, I really do. They have to catch...
So it is possible. It isn't something way out there to think about. At least there's every reason to do it ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And remember, you know, common law is clear. I mean, look at these people. The government keeps sticking their nose into the families. They have no business doing that. They have no business whatsoever. The families should take care of themselves. And even a situation where children are removed, they go to some stranger, they refuse to let the family deal with the problem. Even if the government sticks their nose to some degree into that to make sure everything's okay and working out. But the bottom line is, you know, if you have a brother or a sister who's lost their children for one reason or another, and you're willing to take those children in and to work through and help them work through their problems, you should be able to do that. But the government doesn't want to let you do that. They want to send these children to strangers, and they break the children up. If there's more than one, they'll send one over here and one over. Look, the most evil court in America is family court. They need to be shut down. The system doesn't work, and it never worked. You can't get a bunch of lawyers coming in to decide family issues. They're all in it for themselves to begin with. So
agree more. Yeah.
You know, look, take the course, and I'll give some thought to this, and maybe in a couple of weeks, once they catch up and you're all on the same page and we get into the pleading areas, maybe I can try to write a paper or something.
Okay,
into the course, you know.
And we are working with Terry on getting a COS started right here in Loveland. We've had a good meeting, several good meetings, and... it seems to be coming together. So,
okay,
that's looking forward to that too.
Okay, great.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Okay, we'll take our next question. Let's see. It is Rhonda from Florida. You got the mic, Rhonda.
Hey, John.
Go ahead. How you doing, Rhonda?
Okay. I actually live in Nassau County. I just wanted to give you some information. So I wanted to just let you know, in our and our NLA members and listeners know that there is a major new exposure relief. It involves the Babylonian organizing symbolism. Mm-hmm. And this particular exposure piece and resource can be found at lexicon.divinewill.assembly.com. So I can send you the link on an email. It does provide a lot of information about their organizing symbolism. I think it's like really a consistent system of grammar, and it does and can help us to better corroborate the definition that they use throughout, like the media and the political speeches that we often hear, you know. Mm-hmm. And it does help us have an idea about who's working for them, as well as it, I think that it ties in really well when you often talk about the restoration of the courts and the juries that the NLA is doing. I think it can help with that. I mean, personally, I've used this particular resource, and it's taught me an awful lot, and I learn something new every day about the, quote, globalists and everything, but I think it helps us understand, like, not that we're going to know what they might do or might not do, but at least it helps make us to be more aware, I think.
All right, well, send a link to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and, you know, numerous people get that mail, so, and I'll get it myself, Jan will get it, and we'll take a look at it.
And also, I was going to say, I did manage to get my check sent out today, so I got in a little bit late Saturday, unfortunately, but I was glad to get in there finally, so.
Yeah, were you able to listen to the first part yet?
Not yet. I didn't get it.
Try to get some time to listen to
like
that.
Last week.
Yeah, try to get some time to listen to the first part, because, you know, I really feel it's pretty important, that first part of it. And actually, all of it's important, and it's all, you know, really, you know, opening people's eyes to who we are as a people and what our heritage is and what kind of government we really do have and how it should really be working. You know, so this,
right.
This course is a lot more than just, well, look, it is a law course. What we're talking about is the law.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so this is the point of the whole thing. And we're spending a lot of time on the introduction, and we're going to be spending probably two sessions on chapter one, which is the essentials, which is more of well, it's the essentials of what's going on in the court, and, you know, the Constitution and different things. Again, all back to the law. So it's taken a little while before we get actually to the process, which I think begins in Chapter 2, the pleadings. And then we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of how things work in the court, the paperwork and everything.
It's like all the courses that you had and offered on the NLA website, because I've taken all of those, but many of them are like a resource. It's like this lexicon. It's a resource.
Uh-huh.
It's not just something that you say, oh, I'll go see this course, and once I'm done with it, that's it. Because I go back and look at different things quite a lot. And that's the kind of thing about resources like this, even something like this, or the courses that you have, or like the jury administration. It's something that you can always use because it's going to be out there to help you. I mean, I'm not by far an expert in it, but I've learned a lot. And it's just amazing that you can't educate everybody. At least you can try to do what you can with people out there. And, you know, some people will listen, other people might don't want to listen to anything, really, so unfortunately.
Well, again, you know, you can lead a horse to water, you know, the old saying, you can't make it drink it.
Right.
You know, I don't, when people reject right off the bat, I don't even bother anymore. Maybe another time, maybe they'll respond, but spend your time on people that will respond, and that's where you want to really spend your time talking to people and trying to bring them, you know, into the truth, really.
Yeah. It's like the person that wrote up this particular lexicon is like, well, so why, you know, what would be the advantage to learning about the symbolism and what they're saying and what it might mean and what it might mean that they could or could not do? So how's that going to help me with anything? But same thing with the courses and all. How's it going to help you? Because it does help you to have that understanding. You may not be able to say anything about what will be, but at least you have an understanding that you know what could be planned or...
Well, I do agree. I do agree. You know, we do have to understand the enemy a little bit, but I wouldn't spend too much time understanding the enemy. I mean, you know, I would imagine this particular thing you're talking about might be a big exposure of what they're doing and who they are and what their intentions are, and so fine, that would be something to spend some time with. But when it comes down to really spending your time, you're much better spending your time mostly on the truth, mostly on things that are going to help you to bring things back. But to a degree, we do need to understand the enemy. You know, I did a paper and laid things out and on how they actually took this whole process over, and you know, all of the different legislation that they put in place, and what they accomplished with each piece of legislation, and they, you know, law is constructive, and they've been constructing this for a long time. Everything that they've got in place was probably written, you know, 50 years ago, but you know, they couldn't bring it all out and roll it all out at one time. They have to get it through the legislatures, and they got to get it through piece at a time. And the way they word things, they play games with words and they change meanings of words. And you don't really see the whole picture until you take all the pieces of the puzzle and put them together and you say, whoa, look what we got here. So, you know, it's a little, you know, a little here and a little there.
And you take that those pieces or pieces of whatever, and there's organizing symbolism, and then you get the pieces of, you know, how the courts and everything should work and common law and all that, and then you can use those things to build and say, okay, so how is it that, what can we do about them for all the subversion, all their conspiracies and, you know, being treasonous and all the capital offenses that they've done? What can we do that we can make it better? And I think that all of this stuff does help. So hopefully one day we will make it better.
All right, we got to move on to our next caller. I appreciate it. Send that out. You know, we do have some more callers in. We're past 11, but I'm going to spend a little more time, see how many we can get through. But, you know, hopefully we're not going to spend too much time with each individual so I can get to everybody, because there's still three, four, five or six people in the queue. But, okay,
well,
thanks a lot, Ron. Appreciate it.
Very much. You have a good night.
You too. Okay, let's take our next caller, Kate from New York. You got the mic, it looks like, but it looks like you are
here. Thank you so much.
There you go. All right, go right ahead.
Okay. So this is kind of a two-part question. So part A, okay, so like my town is harassing me about licensing my dogs, which are my property, and so I was kind of looking to get advice on the best path forward of correcting this bad behavior. And so
I wouldn't go too far away from dealing with, you know, licensing the dog. This is basically going to the vet and getting the necessary things. Don't they give it there, or they actually have a license that the dog warden puts out? I mean, how does that work?
Oh, yeah, they have this whole ag and markets law that basically uses legalized force, and it's like you have to pay...
Yeah, well, that's where the problem is, you know. I mean, I understand, you know, it's a live animal, and maybe they have some authority there. I never looked into that or never thought about that. I have a dog. I don't license my dog, so I don't know anything about it, really. No one's ever given me a hard time or pushed the issue here in New York. I don't know anybody else. So
get ready for that, because PETA is sort of trying to infiltrate.
They'll be gone soon.
Yeah. So they're trying to infiltrate this. You know, they influence and lobby and control, you know, influence the laws that get written. And the laws are, you know, designed to be discriminatory and to harass people.
Well, again, you know, how are they trying to enforce it upon you? Are they threatening you to take you to court? Did they take you into court?
Well, no, they haven't threatened to take me into court yet, but they have this sort of clause, and I don't have it right in front of me, but it's sort of like, well, we can take your property if you don't license it.
Yeah, but they can't do that either. What state are you in again? You're in New York.
I'm in New York, yeah.
What county are you in?
I'm in Columbia County.
Columbia County. All right, Columbia County is in pretty good shape to some degree. You know, we used to meet up in Columbia County. But look, they can't take you home without due process. That's just, if they do something or try to make a move, it'll be a process they got to go through somehow, number one. They got to go through the courts. Even if they try to just do a facade through the courts, it doesn't matter. They got to take you to court to do anything to you. And once they get into the court, you challenge jurisdiction, because they don't have jurisdiction, personam jurisdiction. And it's that simple. They probably don't even have in subject matter jurisdiction. You need to look into the law yourself and dig it out to see what by what authority they seem to be acting. You also can give them a notice in demand. By what authority do you act? Explain to me how it is that you think you have this power and authority. Who are you? So do a notice in demand on them. Get them first.
Okay, yeah, so that was sort of the next part of my question. So, I guess that would be my notice in demand, like by what right or precedent can the government grant me the right to use my own personal property? And if I need permission to use my property, then is it really mine?
Well, you certainly don't need a license. Look, at the, you know, when you go to, you're going to take your dog to the vet. You're going to have them checked out. They're going to put a little tag on them. If they get lost, you know, I got a tag. You can also do the thing that they put into them. So it looks like a tiny little seed.
Yeah.
Microchipping, that's what it's called. Yeah. I mean, so you have, that's all we need. I mean, I understand that. It makes sense. All my animals, we have cats and we have only one dog right now, but they do have tags should they get kind of out there and lost. They can be found again. So for that purpose, it makes all the sense in the world. But licensing, that's insane.
That's my take on it. But so if the property is not really mine, then who does it belong to? I mean, so, like, I don't understand how the state feels.
Well, again, you don't even have to get into that argument. You can challenge jurisdiction. They don't have jurisdiction. Do a notice in demand. By what authority they act? What's the law? Who are you people? What are you talking about? Well, what authority do you act by? And they're not going to answer that, so that's fine. And that's an elected position. Is it a dog warden that's doing this?
Okay, so, yes, it's the dog warden who's going around. And
they're elected. They're elected, aren't they?
No, the dog warden is hired. The county clerk is elected.
I'm trying to think that one out. But the county clerk is one thing, but the dog warden, that's a position, you know, I don't know about. Well, okay, maybe they can be, maybe they are just employed, but they have to be working underneath somebody who appointed them in order for them to have authority. They have to
the town board appoints them, I believe.
Say what?
The town board. My town board hires him and elects
him. Okay, well, now you go to the town. Well, first of all, you start with that person, do a notice and demand on them, and you might want to do, the next step would be a notice and demand on the authority above that gave them, because the town board was elected. So now you got someone with bonds. But even that individual, they're appointed, they have to have a bond too. They have to have an oath and a bond because they're going out executing things. It's not like someone sitting at a desk that's just a bureaucrat that's not out there beating you up. This person's coming out trying to exercise what they think is the law. Well, now they need a bond.
Right.
So, got the notice and demand on that person.
Okay.
You want their oath, you want their bond, and you want their economic situation, you know, their financials.
Okay, that's a great start. I appreciate that advice so much. Right. He owes me $100. He kidnapped my dog and made me give him $100. And then
really? Wow. Wow, you should sue him.
I know.
Ask for your money back. Look, if you end up in court, you're going to sue him. And we'll talk about that at that point. Are you taking the course?
I need to take it again.
We have a live course teaching people the court process.
Okay, yeah, I haven't taken that one. I've taken several of your courses in the past, over the past few years.
Well, if you're going to battle these people, I don't know if you know the law and understand how things work and the procedure and the paperwork and all those things. If you don't know those things, you're not going to be able to fight them. You have to have knowledge to fight them. And so if you need that knowledge, you can get it in the course that we're giving right now.
Okay, thank
you. It's a live course. Okay, thank you.
Very much.
Okay, we'll take our next person. Thank you. Let's see, it is, what happened here? I didn't see, looks like someone, and let me try hitting that again. Next question. Okay, someone's been unmuted. Is that you, Jim?
No.
Okay, let me take the next person. Okay, Eli, we spoke before. Real quick, what's up? Because I got two other people here.
Yeah, that was Jim. Pennsylvania Jim that you deleted.
Yeah, well, he was already in. We already spoke to him. I think we spoke with Eli too, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to move to the next person because we're way over time and we got two other people in. So let's go to Dominic. What state are you from, Dominic?
I'm down here in Florida.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. This has been really awesome for me. I'm an America State National. You spoke about sovereign citizens earlier, and I just want to tell you that's a contradiction in terms. You're either sovereign or citizen.
I understand that.
Yeah, everything you're saying is spot on. With the land patents, you want your land patents in meets and bounds. You also want to get the MCO on your automobile because, you know, as you know, slaves can't own property. And if you don't have superior title, the state does. So the state owns your property. And you guys are spot on. I think this will work perfect in tandem with things I'm doing down here in Florida as a state national. Mm-hmm. And I'm very eager to get involved in this because we are all about common law. About
Are you in the court?
I am not. I actually signed up for this through 2 years ago. I was up in Michigan, and I signed up through a podcast I was listening to, Street Patriot, and Street Patriot Fighter or something like that, and you guys caught my attention back then. Then, of course, I went on to become a state national, so I'm working through that. You know, as you said, you know, we are governed by consent, and we've consented our whole lives. Every time we've checked that we're a U.S. citizen or anything like that through our lives, we are contracting with this de facto government.
Well, you're not really contracting because the contract requires, the exchange, the meeting of minds, and there was never a meeting of minds. Same thing with the
constitution. But when you ask,
they are problematic. I'm not arguing that point. You know, I agree with you.
But when you asked us, it became truth on record.
Well, yeah. But again, let's. You don't have to go up and make a declaration of who you are as a person. You already are a person, and under common law, you have the right as one of the people. And I did that a while back because I came through that process myself. I learned probably pretty much what you have probably learned on the sovereign movement. And on our course, as a matter of fact, the next section. The next session we have, we're going to be talking about the sovereign movement. And it is true, you know, from their perspective, you understand the meaning of citizens from them and how they look at it and what they're trying to do with it. It is a contradiction in terms. But the truth of the matter is that the word citizen was used in the Constitution, I think it was 7 times or 8 times. Our founding fathers didn't shy away from that.
Yeah.
We are citizen of a natural law republic, and I don't see really a problem with that, but I would never use that word in court.
Right. I'm talking about a U.S. citizen. I'm not talking about a citizen of the de jure republic of the United States. There's two different
citizens. That's exactly what it is. It's de jure, fiction. It's not real. It has nothing to do with who we are. And that's what we're going to take down. It's going to take time, more time, but we're taking it down.
But this has been great. One of your guys, John from Kalamazoo, reached out to me because I had signed up a couple years ago, and I'm glad I took this call. This is amazing. This is exactly what we need. We need common law courts. We need Constitution back in our laws. Absolutely. This is awesome.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But, we have a lot to offer here, and people need to get educated to save this nation. You know, as Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So this is the only way we could do it. And look at, common law is not difficult at all because it's all common sense. And people have lost their common sense. It's still in their mind and in their being because, you know, they were brought up in America, at least the people that were brought up in America anyway. It's still kind of down there inside them. They just have to break away from the craziness and the media and all that stuff and start thinking for themselves and realizing, law is really just common sense, that which is right and just, built up on maxims instead of statutes. It's very simple.
Absolutely. I just wanted to thank you because this has been really eye-opening. I wasn't really aware of what this movement was when I signed up a couple years ago, and then, of course, I went off and became a national. But this is something that could really work in tandem with what I'm doing.
That nation back. We use the law, and it's an uphill battle right now. But look at, we can put the feet to the fire, and we can bring. For instance, if you're in court and you have an out of control judge, okay. Well, you not only can appeal the process in the motion time, during the pleadings times to get another decision, but you can also first do a quo warranto on them inside the court, and a quo warranto will remove them from the bench in 10 days if they don't respond.
Nice.
So, there's lots of different tools that are out there available for us, and they're still being used. These are common law tools, and look at anything that's right and just fits into common law. So a lot of their rules do fit into common law. So, but some of them don't, of course.
Thank you very much for letting me speak. I appreciate you. I don't want to keep you any longer. I know you're over on time. So
we have a couple more people still, so appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay, good call. Thank you. Okay, we'll take our next person here. Let's see. Is that Candy in Michigan? I think your mic is open. Candy in Michigan, go right ahead. You got the mic. You're unmuted, Candy in Michigan. Last call for Candy in Michigan. Okay, we'll take
Hello?
Yep, go right ahead.
Sorry, I think my headset was muted. Can you walk me through on your website exactly where to learn about how their courts work?
Oh, yeah, we're doing a course here. You'd be on the Education Starts Here. Okay, mm-hmm. You're watching on your computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come down to Court Access and the Common Law. Okay, now these two pages you only see if you're in the course. This is the documents and forms and all the information we're given in the course. And this is a recording of the course. So both of these things will be available indefinitely to anyone who joins up. So you click on here, Court Access and the Common Law, and you fill out the application and follow the instructions to get into the course. And this is a live course. It'll probably end up being 4 months, roughly speaking. Saturdays, one Saturday a week. And we also we post all of these sessions we've had. We've had two sessions already, so they're posted right up here. Let me go back and I'll show you. Court Access to the Common Law. You click on that. And here's the two recordings that we've already had. This is one here, which is Introduction Part A. And then we have Introduction Part B. And we also have these in audio also. You know, I found it really good when I was listening to some different courses over the years. I would take the audios, the MP3s, and, I put them into a thumb drive and stick it into my car on my radio system, and I would listen to these MP3s as I'm driving around or whatever, or put it on my MP3 player, and I listened to it over and over and over again. When I was listening to Bill Thornton, I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I loved him.
Okay, we've done a lot of the big difference between us and Bill Thornton. He has a couple errors. One of his big things is he thinks we're the king of the courts. And in a sense, we are a king of the court, but really the king of the court is God. And that's the key. And we are there to represent justice. And that's how our court system was set up. But in any event, that's one big problem I had with, and I didn't realize until for a while, but he's got a lot of great stuff, and I really learned a lot from him. And there might have been one or two other issues that maybe he needs correction on, but I'm sure I need correction too somewhere, and someone will find it and hopefully bring it to my attention. But the thing is the audios are good for just when you're running around. But the video is important to at least watch once. So if you do get into the course, you do want to watch these videos, and I'd watch them in order, part A, part B. And this coming Saturday will be part C, the final part of the introduction, and then we'll be moving into the essentials, and after that, the pleadings. And a lot of stuff after that, then it's the whole how to court works and just a lot of stuff. So.
Okay, well, only one other thing. I want to give my opinion on how I see things, like with these courts. And you tell me if you think that the way I'm thinking is inaccurate.
Okay.
Okay. So I know that the U.S. Constitution, and I'm in Michigan, and I don't know how the wording in all the individual states' constitutions are, but especially in Michigan, it specifically states that the people are under common law. And I'm kind of relating that to being, I'm not an employee of the corporation that's pretending to be the government, so I'm not subject to their bylaws. I'm under God's law. I'm under common law, God's law.
Right. If civil law were common law, yes.
So I'm not subject to their rules or anything that they write.
Correct. That's correct.
So if...
I gave one of these
government offices a notice, and I haven't heard from them since. First of all, I noticed them that I do not, because they were telling me to do something, and I told them that I was not their subject, slave, or, indentured servant, and I don't work for free. If they're going to request that I perform some task, here is my fee.
Well, that's a good point. Yep.
I think that was, then I laid out.
Doesn't Bill Thornton bring that idea up? I think he did.
No, this one, I came up with it myself. If somebody else thinks the same way, well then.
Well, other people have thought that too. But yes, absolutely, that's a good point. So go ahead.
I also noticed that I'm unable to communicate with inanimate objects such as pieces of paper. I'm also unable to communicate with fictitious entities such as corporations, departments, cartoon characters, or the like. So any further correspondence needs to have the name of their person and contact information directly who I am able to communicate with.
Well, you're ruffling some feathers there, aren't you?
I was too, but I told them I cannot proceed with their offer to make me do something until I know all the details, because like you stated and some other things you were saying, that a lawful contract has to include a meeting of the minds, which means full disclosure about everything.
Can't have anything hidden, avoids the contract.
Exactly. So I also told them that I want to know the exact accounting for the trust that I'm the beneficiary of.
Yeah, but you can understand. These people don't understand half of what you're talking about. But let me tell you.
That's okay. They understood that they're going to pay me if they're going to request that
anything. Let me tell you the easiest way, the simplest way, and if you did Bill Thornton, you'll know about this, and that's the notice and demand. And in the notice and demand, you do have sort of a wherefore clause that you're going to enforce should they not obey the law. And in that process, you're demanding them to give them a copy of their bond. If they're out in the public enforcing something and coming after you, then that means that they're bonded. They took an oath and they're bonded. And so you want their bond, you want their oath, and you want their financials. They got 10 days to produce it. If they don't produce it within 10 days, then you do a default on them. At that point, you move it into the court and you do a default on them, a default judgment. Now, the judge isn't going to go along with that. He's going to give you a problem. Okay, fine, let them answer then, because they're not going to be able to answer it anyway, and they're not going to respond with what they've got to give you. Then there is a procedure that someone, because you turn now into a quo warranto, and a quo warranto has enforcement, and therefore they have 10 days to respond in the court then. And at this point now, you got a wherefore clause inside this, okay, because now you're in the court. So you're now going to get restitution, which is usually in money form, of course. And, you know, I always look for $1,000 face value of Morgan silver dollar coins. And right now about, $1,000 in face value is, last I looked, it was like $26,000, $27,000 in federal debt notes, you know. But the point is this. Well, you can do anything with any bureaucrat or anybody that's coming to enforce you. The best way to go, instead of going in through a lot of the things you've gone through, which you're right on point with it, I understand, but they don't have a clue what you're talking about. They really don't. And then when some lawyer gets a hold of it, they say, oh, we've got to make an example out of this person. You know? So you got to be careful with that. Do a notice and demand. Take it through the legal process. You'll end up getting restored with some money because they've injured you, and you'll get your way you should. But again, we are in an uphill battle, and it may be a little difficult to get a judge to do the right thing, but you're opening a court of record. At the end of the day, if you're going to go to trial, you're going to have a jury, and you're going to have an untainted jury, and we're teaching people how to do that also in our court course on how to make sure you get a court of record and go through this whole process. So anyway,
right. I send these letters in the form of a affidavit of fact.
Yeah, and, but I'm trying to tell you,
I'm 30 days to deny. You know, 30 days to.
Well, but if you move the other direction, you're giving them 10 days. Well, you can give them 30 days in a notice and demand. Once you move into the court, it's a 10-day notice because it's a quo warranto. There's a law concerning the quo warranto and the process of bonds and that they have to give you a bond and a copy of the bond, the oath, and financials, and that is all. In codes, U.S. codes, okay, which applies to them.
Exactly what I said. They're
those codes up and execute those codes, and then there's another code for enforcement of that. They have to respond, and they removed from office in 10 days. Now, they don't necessarily get removed from office in 10 days because they ignore it. Everybody's going to say, they're crazy people. But look at once you're in the court and you've moved it to the quo warranto, now it becomes much more serious. Now it becomes something they're going to have to battle. Now it's going to start costing. And you go after the individual. Never go after an agency because
right,
you're only doing
a fictitious entity.
Right.
Yeah.
You're only suing yourself when you sue the agency because we pay for that agency, you know?
Right, and the only way that we win is if we hold their puppets accountable.
That's right. All right, I got to move on because we're way, way late. It's, we should
all
close
right,
down
all.
11, but I wanted to get everybody tonight. We do have one other caller. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, take our last caller here. Let's see, it is,
Hey, how's it going?
Who is this? First name and state.
This is Brent from Utah.
How you doing, Brent from Utah? Go right ahead.
Doing great, thank you. Love what you're doing. I just found you guys just a week ago, but I've been kind of diving into the UCC stuff for the last kind of year. I bought some of your books without knowing they were actually coming from you and studied Howard Freeman for a while, but just found you guys. You guys are on point. But I have a question. I have I recently got a citation for driving without insurance, and I have a hearing on Wednesday. And I feel really good about challenging jurisdiction, but I've been trying to find out more information about right to travel.
A couple of things you have to be careful with. Okay, you do have a right to travel. You are operating a motor vehicle. It is possible that you can have an accident and injure somebody, and that becomes a problem because you're going to get sued if you do that, if you're in the wrong. If you don't have insurance, you got to make sure you have enough assets to cover whatever kind of a problem that comes up. You know, usually insurance is the best way to go. But it is true, you could probably beat this out. Well, not probably. You can beat it out. They don't have the power, the authority. It's probably going to be dealt with in a town court or a village court. Or what kind of a court would be dealing with you on this?
You
received the ticket, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What town were you in when you received the ticket?
Park City, Utah.
What was it?
Municipal court, Park City, Utah.
Okay, Park City, Utah, that's a town or a city?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, I know here in New York, city courts in New York City are considered courts of record, so they have as much authority in New York City courts as you do in any of the state courts within the counties. I'm not sure what's in your constitution. You need to look into your constitution. If the constitution lists them as a court of record, okay, then you could do a keyword search on the court of record. In your constitution to see what exists there. But in any event, if they are a court of record, now you're going to have a problem because they have a legal arm on you. But it'll probably be a town or a city court that is not identified as a court of record. They're really nisi prius courts, and therefore you can challenge jurisdiction, and they'll ignore it. You move it to federal court for cause. You get some restitution as you do that and in your wherefore clause. But the only issue that the federal court can look at is the fact that you denied jurisdiction because they don't have it. Once you prove they don't have jurisdiction, as long as you can push the judge to do the right thing, then you're going to, in your wherefore clause, you're going to have that you want them to cease and desist. Court cases thrown out. But you are putting people in jeopardy if you don't have something to be able to cover injuries should someone get hurt. You know, you have an accident, so
absolutely.
You have to be careful with that, you know?
No, I absolutely plan on getting insurance again. It just kind of lapsed, and so I went through this little period. So if it's a court of record, then I have a problem, you think?
Yeah, if it's a court of record, then it's a lawful court. Now, they may not be proceeding as a lawful court, and that's a whole different story, and it's a whole different challenge. You know, what are the things you want to ask the court when you move into a court is by what jurisdiction are you operating in? The law requires jurisdiction to be in the heading of the paper, so you need to know the jurisdiction. And
right.
If they give you, for instance, last time I went to a traffic court violation thing, it's exactly that. It's in the traffic codes. So therefore, that's what the violation, they gave a number, okay? And when you look up the number, it tells you what the violation is. And I'm trying to think what they gave me the ticket for. I think it was for speeding or something. I don't remember. But in any event, when I looked up the code, it said operating a commercial vehicle with something or other. Right there, it doesn't apply to me. You see, so look up the code that they put into the ticket, number one. And now you can challenge the jurisdiction, even though they have a court, even though they're a court of record. The jurisdiction, courts operate in numerous jurisdictions. Okay, there's equity and there's law, and in equity, there's if in a federal court, for instance, there is 57 different jurisdictions. So when you're in federal court, what jurisdiction am I in? Well, same thing in a town or a city court. Let's say it's a city court, and let's say that it is a court of record. Well, what? And now they're working off of a statute right away. It doesn't apply to me.
Right.
But I will tell you one thing, though. If you did get into an accident and you killed somebody or you injured someone bad, you're going to be sued and garnished and everything, and that would all be lawful because now it's a whole different story. That court will no longer be a court not of record. It will not be an nisi prius court. It will be a lawful court, and you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, there will definitely be an injured party at that point.
Yes, that's the point, yes.
All right, well, thank you again for everything you do, and thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I do have one other caller. I'm going to take it. It's getting real late, but LaRonda, this will be the last caller. Let's see. LaRonda, I think it is. What state are you from? And we're going to make this quick, hopefully. LaRonda, you've been unmuted.
Missouri.
Missouri. How do you know? Is it written down? I didn't see anything written down there. LaRonda? Hello, LaRonda. Last call for LaRonda. I'm going to go to bed. Okay. I guess LaRonda's not there. Okay. We're going to end the evening now. Appreciate everyone calling, and Lord willing, we'll be here next Monday. And for those in the course, we'll see you next Saturday. Good night, everybody.